Straight up, now tell me, do you really wanna love me forever? Oh, oh, oh. Or is it just a hit and run? Hey, we got a good thing.
What's up, my friends? This is Melissa. This is Oral Stimulation. You are here on XM 165 and SkidRowStudios.com. I am, of course, joined by my beautiful, amazing, fantastic co-toast, Alex. How's it going, Alex?
I'm doing fine. Thanks for asking, Melissa.
That was so fake. How are you really doing?
I'm actually doing really good. It's Wednesday. I'm excited. We have a good show planned. We have a special guest.
We have a super special guest.
Yes, I'm excited.
Do you want to say his name or do I get to?
You could say his name. It'll probably sound better coming from your mouth versus mine.
All right. We've got basketball greatness Shai Cotton joining us later in the show.
I'm excited about that.
You know what? I'm really excited to hear what he has to say. I have some hard questions for him.
I'm sure he'll be ready for him.
It's going to be fun.
But how are you doing? You asked about me. How are you doing yourself?
I'm doing good. You know.
No, I don't know. That's what I asked.
Things have been really crazy lately. I think for me and for you, just running around, a lot of work going on. A lot of stuff. So later, a little bit later in the show, we're going to talk about creating a balance in your life, trying to build up your relationships, you know, maintain your friendships, and also getting the stuff done that you need to do.
Which I think is important because I think in life, we kind of get caught up in our daily routine and like, you know, with work and with family and stuff like that. And I think we lose sight of ourselves.
Absolutely. One thing that, of course, was not routine this past weekend was AdultCon.
Yes.
I had so much fun with you there.
I had a blast.
I know you did. You wore your sunglasses the whole time.
I had ADD. I was distracted.
Yeah, I lost you a bunch of times, huh?
It's kind of... Do you blame me? It's like a kid in a candy store.
No, we definitely had fun. There was just so much going on. I mean, it was a really small show.
Yeah, I agree.
But there was so much to do. Actually, what I found was there was a lot of first-time vendors.
There were.
Yeah, almost everybody we talked to said they were there for the first time, and they just seemed to be, gosh, everything. It just, I don't even know where to start.
Well, no,
I mean,
shout out to small businesses. You know, everyone's trying to make a buck.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's always hard to do, especially nowadays with the economy. Everyone's just trying to find their niche or find their way.
There was everything from weed juice to all kinds of different surgical procedures.
Yeah, all the way through.
Which really surprised me because there were things that are just light years ahead of anything I've seen before, you know, that are solving the problems in much less messier ways.
Which a lot of the stuff I would never even think of or even ever thought that, but there it was right there.
I know, and that was cool. What else was there? There was a lot of adult toy companies, obviously.
Yeah.
But what was neat, what really set them apart was that, you know, they all had stories about where their business came from.
How they originated?
Yeah. Some of them were really, really inspiring. There's one guy that I'm hoping to talk to sometime in the next couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. I would love to be able to share his story because that one was really cool.
Okay.
What else? There was lots of random stuff there.
All the way through. I mean, from entertainers.
Didn't you make a big purchase?
There?
Yeah.
Yeah, I bought a sauna.
That is impulse buying at its finest.
I got it really cheap. I got it discounted.
Yeah. If you ladies like a guy who spends money, he's right in front of me.
You and your
gold tennis shoes.
Oh, that was a one-time deal. I just wanted to match your nail polish.
You didn't even know we're that connected.
No. You know, love speaks in mysterious ways, Melissa.
Don't look at me when you say that.
Mysterious ways?
No, the whole thing.
Okay.
I want to know, though, why did you wear your sunglasses the whole time? And you weren't the only one. So it's not like you had just been to the eye doctor and you had your eyes dilated or something. There was definitely a reason behind that.
No, because I haven't got much sleep lately and I had a lot of bags under my eyes. Mm-hmm. So I was trying to keep them hidden.
Okay. That makes sense.
Well, it wouldn't really matter. I mean, I think initially you might think that I'm trying to because I'm gawking and staring at people left and right. But I mean, everyone's staring. So I wouldn't really matter to me. But yeah, I was staying incognito. Low key.
I love the pictures that we got from that night.
Did you post them up yet?
A lot of them, yeah. I posted them on my personal Facebook, but I'll send them over to the Oral Stimulation page soon. That's, of course, facebook.com/oralstimulationradio. Mm-hmm. Maybe on Twitter too, at OralStim.
I know. Austin will probably tweet some of those anyways.
Austin's really good about that.
Yes.
Thanks, Austin.
Shout out to Austin.
You're welcome.
If we want to do shout outs, I want to shout out to your overzealous friend at the show.
Richard? The guy from...
The guy with the camera.
Have you talked to him?
Well, he's texted me a couple times.
He fell in love with you the minute he saw you.
I know. I kind of fell in love with him too.
He is a sweetheart. I hope he's listening. I wonder if he's listening.
Probably.
He works nights, so...
So he has no excuse.
If not, I think he'll download it and get the podcast.
Actually, if anyone's listening and they want to call in, 800-893-9562 is how you can reach us directly.
Yeah, tell us how you find a balance in your life.
Please.
What's a good way you find a balance?
We need some help. Yeah. We'll be bringing you the rest of the stories from AdultCon in the next couple weeks. And also, I have an announcement about that. We will be off air next week.
Yes.
Because I will be in Nebraska making appearances at the Nest Lounge.
What?
Yeah, that's 2638 South 158th Plaza, next to the preschool, where every good bar belongs.
Drop off your kids, go grab a drink.
Right? They keep Sunny D in the fridge just in case.
Do they allow kids in the bars in Nebraska?
Of course not.
What the heck?
I mean, no. It's a whole different world. I'm going to take you back there sometime.
Yeah, I am surprised you didn't ask me to go with you now. I could have met my mom.
You want it?
My mommy-in-law.
What's the story there?
No, your mom, silly.
Oh.
Did that just go right over your head?
Right over my head.
Oh my gosh.
My head is in 100 different places tonight. So
I got a perfect place for it.
Oh. Anyway, people, we won't be here next week, but we will be back with you the following week. With all kinds of good stuff.
All right, so I get 1 week without you. What am I going to do?
What are you going to do? You and Austin are probably going to go party like you guys always do.
You know what I like? I like it if the listeners could send us some emails. Just some more stuff so we could have something to work off of.
Yeah, that's fun, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, like the email. I miss Melissa's voice this week.
What's our email address? OralStim@gmail.com.
I think it's OralStim@gmail.com.
I'm pretty sure it's OralStim@gmail.com.
Yeah, that's it.
I think if people were going to try to reach us.
That's a good place.
OralStim@gmail.com would be it. Yeah.
Well, we know we get a lot of fan mail because of last week's episode.
Yeah, that was our best episode ever. I think we're good at advising people.
I think it helps.
Tonight's going to be better, but the last one was the best we've done.
Yeah, I agree. We'll see. I don't know. I mean, it's kind of going different directions right now. Let's see if we keep it going. It's like a roller coaster. You know, you go up and down, down and up.
You know what? I was on another show earlier today.
You were?
I was on...
Were you cheating on me?
No, I was on Michael Knight's show. And they actually turned the conversation to your favorite subject.
What's that?
Poop.
Really?
Yeah. I was like, how is this even possible? I've banned this topic on my radio show and now I'm on a different radio show.
It's going to haunt you regardless.
Go. Yeah. So unfair.
I think it happens more than you think. The poop talk.
Right.
You just don't like talking about it?
Because girls don't do that. Ladies don't do that.
You're in denial.
No, it's true. Let's talk, Alex, about what you do all day long. Because you work hard.
Yeah.
I hang out. I eat chocolate.
All our listeners are jealous of you.
I write shows. I don't have a job, but I also have a bald tire. Shout out to Longfinger and crew.
Shout out to Matt. Matt is part of the wolf pack. Longfinger is Bob, a.k.a. David.
Yeah, I don't know his name yet, but...
David Nugent. Holla.
Oh, just like that. Just shout it out. All
yeah,
right.
He doesn't mind. He said there's a bunch of David Wins out there, so I give him a shout out.
Okay, but for the people who don't get to just hang out all day long, who actually have to go to work and do a job or something.
Uh-huh.
Ooh, what is going on over here?
Austin's getting comfortable.
Austin's taking his clothes off. Okay.
It's warm in here tonight.
It is. It's hot.
I know.
I only have one layer though. Mm.
Oh, bummer for you.
It'll come off later. What do you do to maintain the balance?
On my end,
because I know you're all over the place. You call me in the mornings on your way to work.
Yes.
And you act like you just woke up or you just went to sleep. I'm not sure which one.
Sometimes it's a little bit of both.
Yeah.
I think it's, you know, it's important as far as that goes. Like internally, I think you really have to focus with your mind, your heart, and like health-wise.
Sure, your health is a big part of it.
Yeah,
that's kind of one of the first signs of knowing that your life is out of balance. If your health starts to deteriorate, clearly things aren't right.
Yeah, then you're like in a hot mess.
But it could be everything from anxiety attacks to, you know, actual physical symptoms, just kind of showing that you need to change things around.
Well, no, I think, you know, like obviously if your mind's right, you need to figure out like what you want, what makes you happy, what makes you angry. So I think those are little like flags that pop up. So if you can maintain that, to maintain some kind of, how do you say it? Like some kind of like happy medium, right? Because you're either one on the spectrum or the other. You're either really happy or you're really sad. But you want to get the happy balance.
And if you're both, you should get that looked at.
Yeah, you're bipolar. No, but something like that, you know what I mean? Obviously, like what you said with the health-wise, I think that's important. Obviously, like you think, like if you have clear thoughts, you know, that'll help you focus on certain things you need to accomplish. I think in return, you've set like goals in life, you know, whether it be like short-term or long-term.
And you really have to weed out the things that aren't contributing to meeting those goals.
Well, that's actually important because that leads me into like kind of like your social network, right? And people you hang out with, you want to be, I'm a firm believer, you put yourself around positive people, you become a positive person. You know what I mean?
I think so. That's why I hang around with you. You're pretty positive.
Yeah, for the most part. I mean, I thought you would hang out with me for other reasons, but that's the main reason.
Because you're a nice guy.
Nice guys, I guess. That works.
That's not good enough for you?
That's actually fine. I don't really mind being called that at all. I'm okay with being a nice guy.
It's because you support gay marriage.
Speaking of gay marriage, see all the equal signs up?
I see them everywhere. I see equal signs. I see bacon equal signs. I
bacon
saw
equal
Bud
signs?
Light equal signs. I saw grumpy cat equal signs.
So joint equal signs.
Joint equal signs. Uh-huh.
There you go.
Hi, Mindy.
They're all over the place.
They are. What do you think? What would your equal sign be?
Just what everyone else is supporting, the equal sign. Two bold black ones.
You wouldn't have two lumpia?
I guess. I haven't been that creative with it, actually.
That just came to me right now.
Really? I'm glad you think about me. You look at me, you think about Filipino food. You just name
I think about stuffing all kinds of things in my mouth when I look at you.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. I'm excited.
Anyway, my whole point is that Austin had this really weird theory in the car earlier.
About what?
About, I don't even know what. About...
I don't know what she's talking about right now.
Gayness and evolution and all kinds of things. But I think the extinction. Bottom line is dinosaur extinction. Well, I think ultimately we all agree extinction. That we're for gay rights.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Unequivocally.
I think it's good. I think that there's no reason to continue to sit on this issue. I don't even know why it is an issue. It's as ridiculous as not allowing me and you to get married, Alex.
No,
because
I mean,
that would
I think
be an interracial thing.
I think if people find a way to make it happen, it happens. You know what I mean?
If two people want to be in love, if two people want to fight, just let them do it. Whatever.
Yeah, well, if they want to fight, well, of course you bring the negative right out. It's about love and being together.
Oh,
with
yeah,
someone
it's
that
about
you
love. It's about love.
With,
I forgot.
You know, I mean?
You know what I think people should do? And actually call in if you're with me on this. 800-893-9562. I honestly believe that when you get married, it's so easy. It's such a breeze. You walk in, everyone's all happy. Oh, this is going to be the best time of your life. Okay, I think you should have to fill out your divorce papers before you ever get married. Just so you can really think about it.
Is that what a prenup's for?
Yeah, but I think a prenup is way easier to write than the actual papers. Do you know how much paperwork goes into that?
I like that idea.
What, doing your divorce stuff ahead of time?
Yeah, put a reality check on people.
Seriously. You can, even if you don't have kids yet, you can set up the whole custody thing. You can really find out who a person is.
You can't really predict the future. I think if I'm going to go into it, I'm going to be at a point where, like, if I love you and I want, like, the companionship, you know, it's, like, all about us being one. No longer I, me, you. It's us, we.
But I think she's making a strong point. It seems that a lot of people go into it without
blinded
even thinking
love.
About it. about what it really means to say I'm committing to you for the rest of my life.
But or the that, next 7 years, give or take.
Yeah, but isn't that like what the kind of the whole courting part of it is? Like what, to get to know someone, to actually get to that point, to want to be with someone, to be married?
Yes, but I think expectations change once you get married.
What do you, where, in what way would it change?
Well,
just
I
because
think,
of the title, the last name change?
Yeah, and I think people expect a lot more from that. I think there's a tendency to say that women expect a man to be in the home afterward. You know, when you're dating, it's like, oh, go out with your friends, do whatever you want, ha ha. But as soon
you get
as
home,
you're
it's
married,
like, you need to change that fucking light bulb.
Yeah, I think that's just, I think marriage tends to change people like that. And so I think if you have to sit down and really take a hard look at what ending a marriage would be like, people would maybe not jump into it so quickly.
Yeah. I don't see, I'm not the type to really jump into it. Like I have to kind of weed it out. Like I need to know like you're loyal, you know, like respectful and like communication's key. So I wouldn't really make that decision if I didn't feel like you are the right person to be there by my side and support me. Because I'm a firm believer behind every great man, there's a strong woman. I mean, I'm huge on that.
I like that.
I mean, you could look at the president right now, Obama, like his wife is a strong woman.
Do you think she's like literally stronger than him? Have you seen her arm? She's amazing.
Possibly. Obama's pretty fit. I mean, I don't know about that, but you know, as
I think
far
they
as
have pull-up contests.
I don't know. Maybe they sit there and see who do more push-ups.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. But I mean, like, you know, even going back to the Clinton, to Bill Clinton, like Hillary was a strong woman.
You know she was stronger than him.
Yeah, but you get my point. I think behind every great man, there's a strong woman all the way through. So I think that's key. And obviously, if you want to make that, if you want to marry someone and being in a relationship as long as you are, you if you, you could see like weakness right away, you wouldn't want to be in that. You wouldn't. I wouldn't want to be with someone long term if that was the case.
That's true.
That's and just temporary.
No, you're right. You're right. I mean, it is important if you're trying to create a balance in your own life. To have that balance in a relationship, you absolutely can't be with someone who's completely clingy on your life. And you don't necessarily want to be with someone who's so independent that it's like you're alone either. Otherwise, what's the point of being in the relationship?
Well, to procreate.
Alex.
Well, I don't know. Right?
Then why can two people over 55 get married? They're not going to procreate.
They could. Well, the guy can, just not with her, maybe.
If you're over 55?
The guy, yeah, he could still spit out.
So then two people over 55 shouldn't get married?
I never said they shouldn't. I think actually it's cute when old people kind of go through that.
You think that's old?
No, when older people like that, when they kind of find love. I think it's cute when, like, you know, you still see like an elderly person open, like my mom and dad. My dad will still open my mom's door. They're always they call each other sweetheart all the time. They're always all the time. It's gross. But seeing something like that, I mean, I think it's still cute to see kind of older people. I mean, they don't lose sight of it. I mean, of course, you know, they have their ups and downs. Everyone has their battles. You know what I mean? Nobody's perfect. So there's no Brady Bunch kind of stuff like that. But it's how you kind of overcome that stuff and make it through.
Sure.
Yeah, I know. Because I see.
You're right. You're totally right. No, I completely agree. I think finding a balance in your relationship, finding a balance in your work life, finding a balance within yourself, too, just finding peace with yourself is extremely important. One of the tips I found, actually, to help create and find balance in your own life was to turn off your cell phone. And seriously, I think I would stop breathing if I shut my phone off.
Yeah, because you're always phone banging on it.
Yeah, always.
I'll be talking to you on the phone on the way to work. And all I hear is like popcorn noises.
Yeah,
you're texting
okay, listen. Anyone who's talking to me on the phone, if you hear popcorn and I deny knowing what it is, cat's out of bag. I'm texting. You're on speaker. And it's suddenly become a group conversation.
Well, right? At least I know why now.
You got me.
Well,
right.
Sorry, I disclosed the cat's out of the bag, so at least now you know.
We're going to create balance in that. So what we're going to do is we're going to go to an early break here.
Okay.
And when we come back, we'll, of course, have our love or lust. And then we are going to bring on Shay Cotton, and we're going to ask him about some balance in his life. This is Melissa on XM165 and SkidRowStudios.com with Alex on Oral Stimulation.
Listen to Skid Row Studios anytime, anywhere with the Skid Row iPhone app for your smartphone.
Skid Row Studios.
Real internet radio.
Vic Cohen, host of Vic Cohen's It's a Fair Question. That was creepy. Catch my show every Tuesday night at 10 p.m. Pacific time, where amazing guests face my relentless probing questions. Am I keeping you? Are you like in the middle? I'll be gentle. No, I won't. That's right. Someone is going to get probed, and I will be doing the probing. That's every Tuesday night, 10 p.m. Can I count on you? Are you going to be there? Yeah? Is this voice turning you on? Is this sexy to you? Do you like it? Is it too dirty? It's a fair question. It's a fair question. Was that creepy?
Tune in to Oral Stimulation. Wednesdays, 9 p.m. Pacific. SkidRowStudios.com.
What?
Tune into The Love Bite, where all your kinky desires come true. Sundays, 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific time at SkidRowStudios.com.
Please join me, Wyme Russell, here live at SkidRowStudios.com for the Devils in the Details radio show Fridays from 2 to 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. We cover everything from conspiracy theories to the truth movement. Please join us.
Listening to Skid Row Studios.
You're 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 listening to Skid Row Studios.
I'm not doing it with you.
Please do it with me.
Fuck that.
Can you please have sex with me?
At Skid Row Studios?
At Skid Row Studios.
Maybe.
Okay. Is it love or lust? You know, Austin, every week we go into this, and I'm hoping you have changed that freaking clip. And every time it's that same girl losing it on the unoiled bed springs.
I was under the impression you love that.
That was definitely not my love, but I do have a love.
What's your love this week?
My love this week is equality. I'm feeling very patriotic. I have confidence in our court systems, and I think it's really going to happen. People are going to finally figure out that anyone should be able to love anyone they want, and we're all going to live happily ever after.
Well, I think it's going to happen regardless whether they want it to or not, right?
I mean, if it's legal or not legal,
that's the main issue.
Not going to happen.
Yeah. I think that'll
just let people get married. This is ridiculous. Why are we still talking about this?
It'll happen. Don't worry about it. Can I go back to last week's lower list?
All the way back there?
Yeah, all the way back.
All right, tell me what you have.
Last week you talked about. Was it loving or lusting?
I think you were lusting.
Lusting towards basketball players, right?
Definitely.
So, of course, I had to make a phone call to one of my really good friends.
Because you're my best co-host in the world.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I aim to please you out of all things. You talked about basketball players, and I made a phone call to one of the guys that I know, I kind of grew up with, and we have him in studio. I'll let you actually, you did a little write-up on him.
I did. I've done a little research.
Okay.
All right. So basically,
go for it.
All right, okay.
See what you got.
Basically, I've kind of determined that everyone has that family member at the family gatherings who likes to recount their glory days.
Yes.
Okay. I know my ex-husband went on and on about the time in JV football when he sacked Matt Castle. Okay.
I know exactly who that is.
Up at El Camino High School in the Valley. I actually had an uncle who used to play hopscotch so hard, no one would challenge him. And your friend here appears to have been a junior high basketball legend.
Actually, high school too.
High school too. I'll give him that. Who wasn't content to simply look back at his fond memories, but he's actually creating a documentary based on what could have been.
Correct.
Right?
Right? Let's see. I don't know. We could ask him about it.
All right. We're very excited. Very excited for the first time here at Oral Stimulation to have a guest in studio with us. This is a very special honor. So I hope you appreciate it.
I do.
You are, of course, Shay Cotton. Thank you so much for being here tonight.
Oh, thank you very much. It's my pleasure.
So tell us a little bit about what got you to this seat tonight.
Well, for one, me and Alex go back to high school. He was actually one of the managers on our basketball team at Modern Day High School. And we remained really good friends all the way through the rise and the fall, so to speak, of my career. And just had a really good relationship with him and his family as well, just really good people. So he reached out to me on Facebook, and we spoke briefly about possibly doing the show. And I asked, could I come in the studio? Because I felt that it'd be a lot more intimate, a lot more real. And he said most definitely. So
you are in our very intimate space. This is what we call the cocoon.
Yeah, okay. Definitely. Actually, Shay, for the people that probably don't know, what's probably like, she did a little summary of like kind of where you've been and what you kind of been through. I mean, that's perceived through her. If you could say it through your own, I mean, out of your own voice, what would you say? I mean,
where do you want me to start?
Where do you feel like your career began?
Yeah.
Well, it started on the playgrounds, a humble beginning in San Pedro, California, at Peck Park. Yeah, that's where I really started to take basketball serious. But probably right before that, when I really wanted to start playing basketball, I'd say the playgrounds, you know, playing against all the older guys all the time and getting knocked down. And how dare you even speak? You know, you have to get up and show your toughness from a young age. I think playing against older guys that were bigger and stronger gave me a confidence, and I realized that I had some ability. And from that point on, I started to take it serious. And that was probably like 10, 11 years old.
And then you kind of turned into the Hulk, right? I mean, you really just overpowered all these formerly big guys.
Honestly, I was a slender kid. I was a wiry frame, excuse me. And I just really trained hard going into high school. And just made the difference. I ate whatever was in front of me, ate a lot of red beans and rice growing up. You know, my mother's side of the family is from New Orleans. So, you know, we're big on the cuisine. But I was born and raised in Los Angeles area. So, you know, we had the best of both worlds, in my opinion. I mean,
yeah,
Los Angeles is a great city.
At what age did you really actually start dunking?
Well, I got my first dunk when I was 12. AAU championship game in Roanoke, Virginia.
What grade are you in 12th grade? Or, I mean, at age
sixth
sixth grade.
Yeah,
so
5'9".
This guy's 5'9", dunking on kids in sixth grade. That's some freaking believable.
Is that?
Yeah, it is. It's tough to do.
Because you're tall or because you're what?
Well, I don't know anything isn't really about that basketball. Tall, I don't think. You know, okay. Basketball.
Yeah, it's not, actually.
So you're short, but you're dunking on older guys.
Well, kids my age, but no one was dunking at that time at all.
Got it. Yeah. Okay. All right. I'm with you. So when do you feel like the attention really shifted to you?
I would say after the AAU championship, sixth grade, from that point, things really started catapulting. Scholastic Sports America, which is ESPN, they did a couple of spreads on me and started getting a lot of notoriety nationwide and started becoming a household name. And every place we played, the gyms would get a lot more crowded, you know. And it just seemed like it was filling up at an alarming rate. Then the sneaker companies started coming in, and that's when everything got crazy.
You know, it's every girl's dream to have a new pair of shoes, like, every week, just sent in the mail, right?
I can imagine.
And when you were in high school, you actually switched schools quite a bit.
Not exactly.
You were at three different schools?
Two. Right.
Okay. Did that impact your social life, do you feel? Or were you even concerned about having a social life at that time?
It all just kind of blended in. I mean, you just kind of fit it in. I mean, the schedule was definitely unconventional. So things were moving really quickly, you know, and I was so engulfed in, you know, going to class and taking care of my books so I could play because I had a passion for it. You know, I really wanted to entertain and be the best I could be. I worked so hard in training. I wanted the game to be fun. So the off-the-court stuff kind of took care of itself. I mean, it got to a point where I just had to start looking at everybody like, you know, what do these people want from me and what are they around for?
Well, which actually kind of brings to like one of our topics for tonight is having a balance. Like at a young age, how did you even have a balance with all that stuff? I mean, you're dealing with friends that you think are your friends, may or may not be. I mean, I'm sure girls are trying to holler at you. You're still at a young age. I'm sure you're like, it's certain needs, you know, at a young age.
Right.
You're dealing with the family and like other people that you have no idea who are. Like, how do you, and then you have to do homework.
Right, right.
And you still have to train and do everything that, like, how did you?
It was a task in itself. You're making me tired just listening to you.
Did you really do homework?
Oh, most definitely.
Because even my fourth grade son doesn't actually do his homework.
Most definitely.
He thinks he's pretty famous in baseball.
No, that didn't fly in my house. My mother was a firm believer, you know, without the books, there is no basketball. So, I mean, and to answer your question, Alex, to balance everything, the support group is huge. You know, I had a time management chart that I would abide by. My day started around 5:30, 6 a.m. And, you know, from that point on, it was just like executing the goals one at a time, whether it's academics, athletics, or if I'm giving interviews or stuff like that. And, you know, the social side of it always kind of blends in. You just have to do more weaning of people and just kind of screening them to see what their intention is. And, you know, my mother was very, like, social but very guarded at the same time, you know, because both of her sons were emerging in basketball. And, you know, we just happened to both be lefties, and she was more of a culinary type of person, loved to cook, and the kitchen was her domain, and my father was always pretty much working. So the things that I learned, it was like valuable lessons that were being shown through action a lot of times, and she communicated things to me and just, you know, to keep things perspective, and I always took the trash out. And I think that really helped keep me, you know, on an even keel, because it's like, oh, yeah, I just did this Sports Illustrated piece. The trash is full.
Yeah. You know? Actually, I mean, how old were you when that SI?
Man, if I
was
can
like
recollect.
16 or?
Yeah, I'd say 15, 16.
15, 16 years old. He had was it 4 pages?
Correct.
4-page spread on Sports Illustrated. I mean, back then, this was like maybe like 95 maybe. And that's when the social media wasn't even what it is now. I mean, literally at that point, it was literally like just newspapers, I mean, TV and magazines. They didn't really have everything that they really, like now we have like Twitter, we have social media, we have YouTube, we have Facebook. We have all these ways to promote yourself. And at that, they're like seeking after you, right?
Right, right. And that's without the social media. I mean, Sports Illustrated was like the creme de la creme.
Yeah, at that point, yeah.
Yeah, once you get to that level, it's like, well, where do I go from here? Well, I would play mind games with myself. You know, I'm not worrying about the media. It's just, how good can I get? And, you know, God forbid I get injured. I mean, this thing could be really interesting. You know, when you have Jerry West at your high school games your sophomore year, you know.
Me too.
And I had no idea till after the fact. I mean,
you got the NBA logo watching you play. No pressure, right? Well, actually, let me ask you that. I mean, talk about like putting pressure on yourself. When you know there's scouts or you know there's people out to see you, would you try harder or would you just let the game come naturally to you?
It all depends. You know, certain games, I was more of an initiator and took more of an aggressive approach. And then sometimes I just kind of would let, you know, fill the game out, get my teammates involved and just kind of fit in the gaps and then kind of take over. You know, but my thing was I got a joy out of as much as I scored, I really loved to pass. So I would like to make a nice play with a good pass and the guy finish it with a dunk or hit a three or something. I mean, I would get more gassed about that than scoring myself a lot of times.
Yeah. Well, actually, it's pretty tough. Like you said that. It's like a parallel process that you do throughout life.
Right.
I mean, on and off the court, right?
Right.
I mean, you still have your struggles. I mean, there's certain like ups and downs that you go through where they're like, sometimes you have to be more aggressive in certain situations.
Right.
Right?
Right.
I mean, in other relationships you have in on and off the court, right?
Right. Right.
So, I mean, that's kind of like a dual process.
You learn so much. Most definitely. The basketball, the elements that you learn in basketball, teamwork, discipline, you know, desire, dedication, all these things, you carry them into the workforce, whether it's in your normal life, personal life, with your family. It teaches you a lot, and you can handle situations that may be in volatile moments, you know, and you can handle them a lot better than maybe the average person that hasn't really tested the limits and played under the gun. And, you know, you got to hit a shot. 5 seconds left. I mean, in those conditions, you have to have ice water running through your veins. And it helped me, you know, deal with a lot of stuff that I've dealt with through my life up to this point.
That's... Oh, I'm just listening.
I thought you were going to add to that.
No, but it sounds like if you have ice water running through your veins, that would, you'd be a good candidate for marriage.
Actually, are you married?
No, I'm not.
No?
Are you single?
I'm not.
He's in between.
I'm trying to do the math. If you guys have a question for our fabulous guest, please call in 800-893-9562. As far as the social media aspect goes, do you think that helped you or do you think that hurt you? Because people were really able only to see one side of you. So when they saw you on the court, they expected that consistent greatness all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like you were able to deliver that?
I think so. I mean, I really came to play. I didn't have a lot of off days. And if I did, we usually still won. I mean, everybody has a bad day, but I didn't have a lot of them, you know, and the talent pool at that time was really high and it was very well respected. I mean, these are some of the better players today in the game that are still playing, the likes of Paul Pierce, Baron Davis, you know, who's injured, but obviously he's had a great NBA, you know, career overall.
At the Collins twins, right. Kevin Garnett.
Yeah, Meta World Peace, formerly known as Ron Artest. I mean
just Shea's played
guys.
Against these guys. Stephon Marbury.
Yeah, Kevin Garnett. Like you said, Stephon. I mean, yeah. You know, these guys are guys that set the table for the younger guys that they looked up to. And there, a lot of them, you know, are following in their footsteps. They kind of set the tone after Jordan retired, Magic finished up. These guys kind of carried the torch. And, you know, at that time, I felt like I was the best of the best.
What do you do when you see those big names, either in basketball or just celebrities in general, when they're having issues in their personal lives? Do you think the media has a major impact on the way they handle it?
Most definitely, you know, because you're like in the spotlight 24/7 and you want to lay your hair down and like, where can I do that? Only in the confines of my own home. The minute you leave, you know, your doorstep, it's pretty much walk that straight line, you know, and you're leading by example. And a lot of people's watching you and it's like they're preying on their downfall pretty much, waiting for you to make a mistake. So they can, you know, expose that because the controversy, it sells a lot faster than the positive, unfortunately.
Did you ever make any mistakes?
Of course. I'm human and I'm probably going to make more, but as long as I don't make the same ones, I'll be all right.
All right.
Well, I guess that's important, though. You said something key. You learn from them.
Right.
I mean, if a lot of people make mistakes, if they don't learn from them, there's no, I mean, you could fall down, but you can bounce back up and learn from it.
Right.
I mean, through anything. I mean, I think that's key. That way for next time you're not caught up in that same issue where before, whatever the case may be.
Yeah, you have to be strong in this world. At anything we put our mind to, you know, we have to put our best foot forward. And sometimes you go through adversity and people telling you no, but you keep knocking on doors and somebody's going to open and you're going to get a yes. And it's what you do with those opportunities.
Actually, you talked about like the balance and like people kind of, or when we talked about balance for the show, I mean, different things of how you would handle situations with everybody kind of giving you advice or trying to, like, you should do this, you should do that. Like, how did you decide who to listen to? I mean, I know your parents. I mean, do you just follow your heart, even though it went against like maybe what your family or your friends thought, or maybe you had like a coach kind of growing up that, because something like that, I mean, somebody has to take you under their arm, right? Or under their wing to kind of help you and show you the ropes one way or the other.
You know, I think when you're brought up right, when you're raised right, you know, you have those elements of values and characters and morals and, you know, just being accountable and being somebody that is of substance. You know, if you stick to the basics and you keep your support group intact, I think it all goes back to the support group. Having the right people around you, you can go far in this world and truly be all you can be. If you put the wrong people around you, you know, you can really stunt your growth and put yourself in a bad predicament.
Actually, which is key. Like LeBron, he grew up with like the four same guys, right? And he's right. Kind of kept them throughout.
Yeah, I hear a lot of good things about him. You know, he's been true to his upbringing, the guys that he's came up with, and he basically brought them along. And, you know, I admire that. I think that's a lot of what I'm doing today, you know, falling short of the NBA long term. Like I thought I would have that type of career and doing what I'm doing now. I feel like it's my duty to be as true to the people that were there through the struggle with me, as well as, you know, the good side, and really nurture the relationships of the people that I know, you know, really want the best for me.
As far as relationships, getting into the interesting stuff, since you said you're not single, what do you do to keep your relationship interesting while you have all these other commitments going on, while you're still working to maintain your family relationships? How do you keep your love interest?
Go the extra mile, you know, apologize when you make mistakes. Oh, and
that's a good one.
Can I write that down? I'm saying no.
Just be true to yourself. I mean, I'm a Taurus. We're romantic people. We're spontaneous. You know, I'm adventurous. I love to do things. I'll try almost anything at least once. I mean, and I feel like my best attribute is my listening skills. So I think a lot of times when your communication is good, you can pretty much get through anything.
All right. So tell us about one of your spontaneous, romantic, adventurous stories.
Well, like a picnic in the park, I do some surprise edible arrangements, chocolate covered strawberries, and we have a whole layout, picnic basket, everything, you know, just kind of like on the ocean front overlooking the Pacific. And, you know, you got the cold cut sandwiches and, you know, the sparkling apple cider and all that good stuff, and just some nice soft music, a little bit of dessert, good conversation, obviously, and, you know, just taking those moments. Stuff like that. And now, mind you, this is like spontaneous. It wasn't necessarily planned. So things like that is what I live for, the element of surprise.
Do you like surprises, Melissa?
I love surprises.
So if he kind of did that with you, would that something that would like get you a little excited?
If he tried to give me a sandwich full of meat, we would have a problem.
Oh, yeah. She's actually vegetarian. So that wouldn't work. But she got the chocolate covered strawberries. I'm sure you came close with that.
I'm just saying. Strawberries don't go good with turkey. Do you ever find that you have a difficult time separating out genuine people from people who are just trying to get at you because of what you have or where you've been or where you're going?
In the past, I think I had a hard time with that, you know, balancing it. But now it's a lot more prevalent because, you know, my antennas are up in the wisdom over the years. Has brought a lot of things to the forefront. So, you know, it makes things easier for me. I know the people that truly want to see me succeed and the ones that were there when I thought other people would and they weren't. You know, it brought a different sense of humility and appreciation, for lack of a better word, you know.
Sure. It is really interesting.
Well, I mean, I've always been a firm believer, like, life is experiential. You need to experience it. Like, you know, you could tell, like, your son or daughter don't touch the hot pot, but they have to actually physically go and do
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
to
they're totally
it.
Gonna touch it anyway. Yeah. Like, so, I'm gonna save my breath.
The minute
on that.
They feel the hot, their hand burning, they're not gonna do it anymore. I mean, especially on your end, Shay, you've been through a lot, like experience wise, and I'm sure you've picked up, I mean, the good and the bad and things to overcome, stuff like that.
Right.
I mean, you found a way to be resilient through the years, which is, I mean, a lot of people, it's tough. I mean, I'm sure you've had your ups and your downs. I mean, we've all kind of had stuff where, like, you know, why me or this or that or how this work. I mean, what was one thing that kind of helped you to stay focused, to bounce back up for? I mean, you've had some trying times, you know?
Well, I think number one is my faith, you know, just praying through everything I do and just practicing humility and accountability day in and day out and setting small goals that are big in my heart, you know, and then working to attain them and not letting anybody get in my way. I think you have to be steadfast when you want to do extraordinary things. You have to go through extraordinary measures in your life. And a lot of people aren't built in that way where they can persevere through them because, you know, times get hard and the money's not adding up. It's like, I got to start figuring something out. But, you know, no rest for the weary. I mean, you have to grind through it. And if you truly want something in this world, you have a passion for it, you know, you can do it.
I mean, do you think kind of going through the whole basketball stuff, do you think that's kind of helped you? I mean, obviously in a daily routine now, obviously, I don't know how much of basketball is a part of your life now. I mean, obviously, is it a big part still?
It's running through my blood. Are you kidding me?
No matter what, huh?
Yeah, I mean, as far as I try to get away from it, they just slap me in the face with it. It's like, wait a minute, we're not done with you yet. So I have a passion for it. You know, I love to watch it. March Madness, I'm just enjoying it. It's such a surprise with all the shocking upsets and things like that. But what really motivates me is, you know, I have a 4-year-old daughter, and when she was born, the light went off and it brought color to my life. You know, before that, things were just kind of like in disarray. And there was an uncertainty like, well, what am I going to do with the next part of my life after the basketball stuff starts spiraling down? And I had a chance to reflect and really figure out you know, what I wanted to do with the next guy willing 30, 40 years or more.
Actually, you said something which is key is reflection. Like right. You reflect. When people reflect, I mean, it's, you got to focus like, am I where I want to be? Like, where do I want to go? What direction? You know what I mean? Stuff right. like that is key.
Right.
So I think that's important. And having a balance is obviously, I mean, you've talked about like setting goals. You talked about like preparing yourself to overcome stuff. But a lot of people that don't plan their task or they don't sit back and reflect because they're so focused on what the next project is
right.
or their thing, the next thing to do.
Right.
I mean, sometimes you need to sit and reflect and see.
Oh, most definitely. I used to wonder how did people meditate? Now I see myself, you know, adapting to different ways, doing stuff like hot yoga and things like that, which is incredible. I mean, for the aura, the energy, the spiritual side, and just the sense of calm and peace that it gives you. It was a necessity for me. I mean, it got crazy. Like, literally, it was just like...
So the hot yoga, huh?
Yeah. You got to try it. 90 minutes, baby, at 110.
Damn.
It's actually good to increase your flexibility.
Really?
In bed.
Okay. So, how often do you go, Melissa?
I used to go, like, a couple times a week.
Really?
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to test out your moves later.
Go back to our guest.
I'm sorry. Where were we? You got me focused on you. I'm sorry. Actually, going back to like your brother played in the NBA.
Correct.
Like, what was that? I'm sure you guys had like some sibling rivalry, obviously, like going through it. He was obviously older.
Yeah, he was. He was 2.5 years older. He played 4 years in the NBA, two with the Seattle Supersonics, well, 2.5 rather, and the remainder with the Chicago Bulls. And, you know, just growing up, we had fierce competition, whether it's shooting drills or playing one-on-one. I mean, it got to the point where, you know, it started becoming a physical issue because we were both so competitive. We had to kind of stick to training and doing the other things and kind of not doing as much one-on-one. But I think that really helped me because he was, you know, a great defender, you know, a knockdown scorer. And seeing his development and watching him evolve and me constantly testing the bar against him gave me a lot more confidence.
So, see, I'm sure that helps, huh?
Most definitely.
One way or the other, yeah. You guys. Like, who was probably the hardest person on you growing up? I mean, you can't say yourself. That's, I mean, would you talk like parents-wise, you like your brother?
Well, you know, I think my father was like, he wasn't very vocal. So, you know, there was like a quiet sense of like respect, you know, and I felt like I wanted to do so much and make him proud because I realized how hard he was working, you know, to put food on the table and provide for us. And that gave me a different type of drive because there were times where stuff didn't always add up and it gave me a lot more motivation because I didn't want to have my kids when I, you know, blessed to have a family, go through some of these hardships. And it made me train harder and, you know, do things on the court that maybe a lot of other people weren't doing at that time.
Okay.
I'm still listening.
Actually, I want to talk about like image, you know, being how young you were and kind of going through that whole thing. Like how did you even figure out what way, what direction to go in? I mean, cause that's key at a young age, right? You had to portray yourself as one way or the other. Like you said, the minute you step out, you do something wrong, they'll crucify you for it.
Right.
But they won't see, you know, that you're attending class, that you're doing your homework, that you're doing all these things. Obviously, your game speaks for itself on the court.
Right.
But off the court, I mean, like, how hard was it for you to, like, I'm sure there's still certain things you want to do, but you know you couldn't do because you had to maintain a certain image.
Yeah, there was a lot of stuff that I sacrificed.
Right. You
know, throughout the process. And I think mainly was a lot of the childhood. Normal stuff that kids would get away with, you know, I couldn't even think twice about it. And the balance was the bond that I had with my core, my family. You know, there was people around, but I always asked the question, you know, I would ask my mother, so, you know, do these people like me for me or do they like me for what I do? And it's clear to me today, you know, and I'm fine with that. You know, the circle's a lot smaller, but the people that are there are people that matter to me in this life. And the balance is a tough one when everything is centered around the sport, but you have so many other intangibles that have to be in place, the academic, the social, you know, you want the spiritual to be intact, obviously. And you want to have a sense of peace. I didn't really have a sense of peace. Everything just got crazy. And I just kind of took it as it came. And when it came to playing, I went to do a job. And when I was done with my job, then I was back to the playful guy, cracking jokes, you know, smiling a lot. Just, you know, enjoying the process.
Go ahead.
You're, of course, listening to Shea Cotton with Alex and Melissa on oral stimulation. I just wanted to let you guys know the phone systems are down right now. So if you have a question for us, please join us on facebook.com/oralstimulationradio, and we will get those questions to our guest.
Or you could tweet at oral stim.
Or tweet. That's fine, too.
There you go. You could tweet your questions to oral stim. Well, there goes that. I'm sure people are trying to call in.
We've actually had a lot of people trying to call in. I'm sorry.
Sorry, guys. That sucks. Anyways, going
never
back
a dull
to,
moment.
we'll make it through. There you go. There's another bump in the road, right?
That's
another
it. Obstacle. You got to persevere.
Push through it. We were talking about actually image. Like, you know, you think about different ways. I mean, I think with the notoriety and like how you were kind of the whole thing. I mean, girls would come and go. I mean, regardless of the case. I mean, you think of like how people were like, you know, like Tiger Woods. I mean, obviously his whole thing kind of came out and kind of like Derek Jeter, you know, these guys have, you know, like how hard was that for you to kind of maintain?
That's the real work. It's yeah, one right. thing to be discovered, most definitely. And then when you're on the map, it's staying there. Is what the real work is. You
right.
know, I think about some of the stuff I did looking back, and I'm not the guy driving looking in the rear view. I drive looking through the windshield. You can never get ahead if you're always looking back.
Yeah.
You know, I look back on some of the stuff I did, and it's like, wow, you know, I see why when I watch basketball now, a lot of times I'm disappointed. And people are like, well, what do you mean? I'm like, well, first of all, the fundamentals are lacking. Secondly, they're not playing with the intensity that they should be playing with. And third is, you know, the passion. I don't really see the passion. I see we're playing for all the social media and things that really aren't important at the end of the day, you know, because the game is pure.
What?
I just hear you popcorning away.
It's just like if you're texting me when we're off air. I won't popcorn anymore.
No, you're fine, actually. No, I was wondering if, actually, I was looking to see if there was a question or maybe something popped up. That's what I thought you were responding to.
Not yet. I'll let you know.
Okay, we're running out of time. We have like 7 minutes left. We'll see. Hopefully somebody could, well, they can't call in. I guess the phones are down.
I could ask a question.
There you go, Mindy.
Well, my boyfriend was trying to call in. It's our 3-year anniversary.
Oh, what? Happy anniversary.
Yeah, today. But I told him there was a basketball guy here, and we're basketball fans. He wants to know who you think is going to win the finals, specifically the Western.
Wow. Let's see. It's wide open right now, honestly.
Yeah.
You know, OKC looks really good. San Antonio's in there. You know, the Lakers could turn it on at any point. And really run the table. You just never know. I'd have to leave it at that. If you said the East, that'd be something different.
Who do you think are the East? The Heat?
I'm rolling with Miami. Yeah.
Oh, that's, yeah. They lost today.
That's all right.
Winning streak is over.
They're like 12, 13 games ahead right now, so they can lose a few.
Well, yeah, they can.
I think that's only how many games they got left, right? Isn't it like a dozen games left or so?
Yeah.
I know, it's almost over.
Actually, Miami looks like they're just cruising, though. I mean, I think they could turn it on whenever they want. I mean, it just looks like they have the team to do it.
LeBron's playing unbelievable. He's playing out of his mind. I mean, at his size, his prowess, what he possesses is just truly amazing, you know, and so graceful and such a team player. I mean, he's truly fun to watch. At this stage in the game, you know, he got the first title out the way. I think now he's settling in his role, and you're really starting to see some of his talents come to the forefront.
Okay, we got a tweet that came in. This is from @RespectLA. He's wondering if you could get a little more in-depth on your final years at Mater Dei, kind of the process of going to the NBA, more mainly what happened behind closed doors.
Yeah, well, that's kind of... open-ended, you know, to answer that question, it's in the documentary. So the Man-Child documentary will be coming soon. And, you know, as far as the details of that, I'm going to save it for that piece. You know, everything that I'm doing now, I think, is really more important than what I did then. And as far as the situation in modern day, you know, I have a great relationship with the school, the coaching staff. You know, it worked well when I was there. Had to leave strictly for financial purposes. My father wasn't getting work at the time where we were located, you know, being in the Los Angeles area, growing up there and moving to Orange County, it, you know, contractual wise, it wasn't working out for him and we had to make a decision. Now, relationships have stayed intact. I go to see them play frequently. I went to a few games this year. You know, they retired my jersey and I didn't graduate from there. So just the level of respect and appreciation.
Actually, shout out to the Monterey boys. They won their third straight state title this year.
Most definitely.
They're killing it.
Go Monarchs.
We have another question here that's much more up my alley, the entertainment field here. This is from Dan Richardson, and he wants to know if you think they should make a Space Jam 2.
Yeah, I think so. It was a big hit at that time. I know when we were coming up, you know, I remember we're having the Space Jam Jordan, so that was a big deal.
He says he's a big fan of Space Jam 1, so do you think you can get in on that?
Possibly.
Try a little acting?
Possibly.
Have you done any acting in your end?
A little bit.
Any YouTube videos?
Nah, not like that. Not like that. Just, you know, some light stuff, but we'll see. With the documentary coming, you know, we have hopes for a feature film, and we'll see what happens.
Actually, so nowadays, obviously, we've heard a lot about your past. What do you kind of like? What's your daily routine like now? What are you doing?
Well, with the social media the way it is, you know, between Tweetcaster, Twitter, Facebook, you know, LinkedIn, YouTube, Instagram, I mean, we're all over the place. I'm all on the social network as far as that. And I spend a lot of time mentoring and training up and coming talent, boys and girls.
Okay, so you do like a little skills camp or?
Most definitely. We have one coming up actually at Laguna Boys and Girls, April 8th to the June 28th. And it's Monday and Friday nights, 6 to 9 p.m.
And so, if they were to try to join that, I mean, are you limited on space or how do they be a part of that?
Well, we want to get them locked in as soon as possible to pre-register. I mean, it's starting to book up little by little. So, you know, we encourage them to hurry up and come out.
And who would they need to see? Or is there like a number they could contact? Or
you can email us at scba78@gmail.com, or you can go directly to our website at www.trainwithshea.com, and it'll take you right there and you can register online.
Since you were kind of, that was in Orange County, do you do anything within the LA city?
I do. We're working on setting up an LA location as well. I mean, pretty soon we're gonna hit probably in 5 or 6 different areas in Southland, from San Fernando Valley, San Gabriel, LA, Orange County, Inland Empire. So we're gonna bring one to LA probably in the next month and a half.
But locally, are you doing anything like engagement wise locally in LA?
I have something coming up, Compton Centennial High School, April 11th and the 16th. We're gonna do a skills camp there, and then the week before that, I'm actually gonna do a speaking engagement. So we're going to stay busy.
So you're working with, like, what age groups are you working with now?
Primarily ages pretty much 8 to 18 years old.
So elementary through high school then, pretty
Most
much.
Most definitely. And even younger. You know, I have a couple 10-year-olds, 9-year-olds right now, too. So.
And at that point, I mean, you were kind of like that at a younger age. Can you really see the town, or do you think people could be taught that? Like, I think yours came naturally, right?
Yeah, with a combination of a lot of, you know, unconventional type of training and just a work ethic. No, different from most.
So at that point, you could give them the ability to kind of maybe hope, give them the hope to maybe.
Yeah, you know, I think the most important part is instilling the confidence. And then if they show you the determination and consistency, they'll see true results.
Could you really see it, though, if somebody doesn't have the drive right away at a young age?
Yeah, you can tell. I mean, the kids that take it serious, you know, right off the bat. I mean, it's
maybe it's like the parents just pushing them to go play.
Right. You know, just because it's an outlet, you know, something to keep them focused on something positive. But you can tell who's going to be special, who really wants to do it, and who's just
Are you working
it.
With any kind of kids that you could see that now, that there's kind of talent?
I have a kid that I think is going to be special, and he's 8 and a half. He's not even 9 yet. You know, he can shoot the 3 already. I mean,
Oh, wow.
there's just so many kids that, they're playing basketball today. You know what I mean?
Okay, we actually need to wrap it up. Is there anything else you want to plug? How can they reach you? Name your Facebook, your Twitter.
Twitter at Shea Cotton. Then we have SCBA78. I'm on Instagram at Shea Cotton as well. And I want to give a shout out to at The Rocket Man on Twitter for flyers.
All right, there you go.
And also, one real quick, I want to give a shout out to This Is Sick out of London. They showing me a lot of love with the clothing. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us. We've actually had a lot of fun this hour. You can, of course, find us oralstim@gmail.com, facebook.com/oralstimulation. Twitter is @oralstim. We will be off air next week, but we will be back. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
Me forever. Oh, oh, oh. Or is it just a hit and run? Hey, we got a good one.